Well, good morning. I want to welcome everybody this morning to God's house. And that's, as I was getting up this morning, I began to think, you know, another good morning. We had rain last night to kind of wash all the dust and everything out. And looked out this morning and could hear the rain falling from the trees and hear a few birds chirping. And I just thought, you know, all God had created, all that He's done. And I looked out and I saw all the everything. And I thought, on that sixth day, after He had finished everything, He looked out and saw everything He had made, and He looked out and saw man and said it was very good. I'm just glad to be His child this morning, glad to be part of His kingdom. Just love Him this morning. So as we come together and we prepare our hearts for worship, go with me in prayer. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for just creating us, for loving us so much, Lord, that You not only created us, and You didn't create us and just set us aside. You created us, and you began a relationship with us. And Father, thank You for the relationship that we can have with You. Father, this morning as we come and we worship You, thank You for the opportunity. Father, we ask You, Lord, just to this morning to walk every aisle, every pew, touch every heart this morning, show up in a mighty way. So when we leave this place, Lord, this morning, that we can say we have met with You. Father, we ask You, Lord, just to continue to watch over those, Lord, that may be sick and may not be able to be here this morning, to touch them and to guide them and to really lift them up. Father, for whatever reason, those who are not here, God, just give them a special blessing this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for this day, and thank You for what an opportunity we have just to see Your splendor, see Your glory as we look out through the, God, through the mountaintops and through the trees and through the every bird that sings. God, as they sing glory to You. So let us this morning sing praises to You. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite our children to Children's Church this morning. Anyone of our children want to head out now to Children's Church?
Amen. It's good to see all those children. I'm glad they're here with us. Today, if you don't know, if you haven't looked at your bulletin yet, it is what we call Deacon Sunday, where we recognize our deacons as well as incorporate new deacons into the team and ordain those who haven't been ordained. So today is our Deacon Sunday, and what I want to do is I want to recognize those deacons that are rotating off, that they have served 2 years. Some have served, I think, maybe, George, you've been 4 years. Joey Vi's been like 6 years. I mean, it's, but most of them it's a two-year term, but some of those elect to serve longer if we need them to serve. So some have served longer than 2 years. And so what I'd like to do I'm going to ask those who I call, if you would please to come forward and just, I'll meet you down here. And I'd like to just give you a little gift, just to say thank you for serving. And I'd like to ask your wives, if they're here, not in the nursery or somewhere, if they're able to come forward, I would like for them to come forward with you, okay? Joey and Betty Vi.
Thank you, dear. Jimmy and Pam Joyce. God, he was in the choir. I'll hug you first since you're quick. Bless you. Thank you for everything. Scott and Suzanne Terry. Suzanne got her exercise this morning. Thank you. Lynn and Suzanne Turner. Thank you for everything, buddy. George and Ruth Brown. Oops, she's aggressive. Amen. Melvin and Peggy Newsom. Bless you. Melvin served as our chairperson this past year and did a super job. And Miss Peggy does a lot to help us with our
last but not least.
You know, you're never least. Could we please give this group a round of applause? Amen. Thank you so much. We also would like to recognize those who are coming on to the team and remain a part of the team. I will start with those who are presently serving. And I'd like to ask you if you would please to come and just stand up in front. Greg Craven. Who will be the chairperson this coming year. Mr. Rudy Cobelia will be the vice chairperson. Mr. Jeremy Craven will be the recording secretary. Mr. Mark Martin and Mr. Kenny Inman. These gentlemen have served 1 year, and this will be their second and final year of their term. Joining them this year will be Mr. J.D. Collins and Mr. Robert Divers. They have got Robert in the choir. Good for y'all. Good for y'all. Amen. Took 20 years and we got him in the choir. Amen. Praise the Lord. These gentlemen, along with those who are not present, along with Dickie, who will be ordained soon, will be serving you, the church, this coming year. I encourage you, if you have issues, you have comments, you have problems, you have suggestions, please contact your deacon. They will be in touch with you. If you have an issue that you feel like is not being addressed, you certainly can come to myself or Pastor Joy, we'd be more than glad to address that, but we think that your deacons are more than capable to handle those issues that might come up. Would you please join me in a prayer of dedication for this deacon team that will be serving this year? Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you on behalf of our deacon leaders. Lord, no one knows except those who have served in the past the demand that's placed on a life in addition to their families and their jobs and their other areas of interest. To serve as a deacon can be challenging, and it can be time-consuming, but it also, Father, is very rewarding. I pray that you will lead each of these men and their wives as they minister together to their families. I pray that you will give them wisdom to know how to care for each of those family members. I pray, Father, that you will give them the strength to do things, Lord, that need to be done, even when they're tired or maybe even a little bit discouraged. I pray, Father, that you will use them, Father, to go forth and to show a clear picture of what it means to know Jesus and to be walking with him. Thank you, Father, for all that you do to guide us and help us. And, Father, our one prayer is that you would be glorified as we lift up the name of Jesus and reach out into our community and minister the gospel of Christ to all those we come in contact with. Thank you, Father, and I pray your blessings and your power on this deacon team. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, with that, I'll turn it back over to Penny, and she will lead us in another hymn.
Our offertory hymn this morning is one that I remember the Gaithers singing. It's just a short little chorus, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. And then we're going to go into Alleluia. So let's stand and sing.
Scripture this morning is from 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come before you this time. We just thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for all the activities in this church this day. And we just praise you, Lord, that you'll continue to watch over this church and bless it. We pray now for this offering we're about to receive. We pray that you bless the gift and the giver. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
On our present serving deacon board, we had the misfortune of losing one of our dear deacons, Bob Crotty. Bob Crotty and myself have served many, many years together in various positions, commitments, and dedications to, including deacon, but we had the unfortunate circumstance of losing Bob earlier in the year. So it is my honor, with mixed emotions, that I would like to present his wife, Betty. Betty, will you step up, please? With a memorial. The memorial certificate reads, "It is with deep appreciation and extreme gratitude that we, the undersigned, do recognize and humbly acknowledge Mr. Robert Crotty for years of dedication and personal service, demonstrated by his service to the deacon ministry of First Baptist Church, Collinsville, Virginia, on this day, the 24th of August, 2014. The certificate is signed by all the present serving deacons, along with the pastor and the associate pastor." Betty.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. You don't see anything.
Bob was very proud to serve as a deacon of his church. And the only thing I want to say is, when I look at all the young men and older men in this church, I want you to think about this, and I want you to consider serving next year when you're called upon to serve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
As our choir is coming down, I'd like to have you turning in your Bibles to the 16th chapter, the book of Matthew. If this looks familiar, it's because we started this last week and we're not able to finish it. But I thought that it would be altogether appropriate if we completed it today, since we are emphasizing our deacons and their service to the Lord as well as to our church. Matthew chapter 16, we'll actually be beginning in verse number 24 today, and we'll finish the end of the chapter. If you remember the last time, I said that Jesus had just been speaking to his disciples about being careful not to become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were very legalistic. He wanted them to look at life differently than they chose to look at it. He wanted them to see themselves and their ministry with him and to others in a much different light than what the Pharisees saw their positions and roles in the Hebrew nation. And so I told you that it reminded me of the little game we used to play years ago that was called I Spy. And the last time we were here, we looked at some of the things that Jesus talked about that we could see in this account. We saw the deity of the Son. Then we saw the authority of the servants. And the last one we addressed last week was the sovereignty of the cross. But I want you to see something today that is of most importance to us, to all of us, but especially to those who serve, not just as deacons, but to those who serve at any level. This is a vital component to their service. Verse 24 through 26, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the necessity of surrender. I really think that in this day and age, the concept of surrender is lost. I don't know that we really understand what Jesus is saying here. He breaks it down into three components and he says you need to do three things, separate but yet together. You need to deny yourself, you need to take up your cross, you need to follow Jesus. There's a process in this where first you have to deny yourself. In other words, you have to shift your thinking about priorities. In this day and age, priority number one is me. That's our society. It's what I want, it's what I think, it's what I feel, it's what I believe, it's what I need. There's a reason why people who have nothing to do with the situation in Missouri will go down to Missouri and ransack businesses. They have a right. You've made us mad. You've done something against one of ours, and we're not going to stand for it, so we're going to get you back. We have a right to do that. That's the whole idea of me-ism. It's all about me. Probably the number one problem in churches today is that people in the churches are more concerned about themselves individually than they are the entire church body. Jesus said to these boys, you've got to start by shifting from yourselves to God. Your primary thought should be, what does God want me to do and how do I go about fulfilling that? That was a whole different way of looking at life for them, but it's a whole different way for believers today to look at their lives in the same light. That we need to consider first and foremost God as our top priority. Us bringing ourselves before Him, bowing ourselves and saying, we will do whatever you want us to do. You have to start by denying yourself. But then the second thing you do is you take up your cross. Now, everybody said, listen, I don't want to go to the cross. Now, Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet, but the Romans had used the cross on other people to exact punishment. They knew what the cross meant in their day, in their culture. It meant that you were going to die. But you see, I think it means so much more than just that. For Jesus, it meant He was going to die. Remember, we looked at the sovereignty of the cross just last week. It was a part of God's plan. But what it means more than Jesus was going to sacrifice and die, it meant that Jesus was going to find what God wanted Him to do and do it, because the cross was Jesus' responsibility. That's what He came to the earth for. And so when Jesus says here, take up your cross, what He's saying is, find out what God wants you to do and then be about that. That's your cross. Not that you're going to die doing that, but that you need to find what God's plan is. Why does God want you here? Because He wants you here for some reason. You're not just here to take up space and breathe good air. You're here because He wants to use you at some level to affect a change in people's lives, both in the church and outside the church. So you and I, every day, take up our cross. Every day we say, Lord, what today do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to speak to? How can I make a difference in this life? And that's what being a Christian really and truly is all about. It's making a difference in someone else's life. And in order to do that, you have to first say, I'm not the most important thing. God is, and I'm going to find what He wants me to do, and I'm going to go do it. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Follow Jesus. There were other leaders during this day. There were other spiritual leaders out and about. But Jesus said, I want you to follow me. Don't worry about what the rest of them are saying. You listen to me. You follow me. You walk in my footsteps. In other words, you surrender to my lordship. That's what's missing in churches today. We're still all about us. We haven't said to the Lord a blanket statement of, here I am, Lord. Everything about me is yours. I surrender all. We sing the song all the time. We very seldom surrender all. When was the last time we surrendered our thoughts? When was the last time we surrendered our desires, our will? When was the last time we surrendered our bank accounts, our families, our jobs? You see, there is no second. The Lord is supreme, and we surrender to Him, and nothing else will do. I like to look at it in terms of a soldier. When a soldier is taken captive, they don't just come out and say, you know, here, you can take my gun, or you can have my boots. You know, here's my helmet or my Humvee, or you get everything. It all belongs to whoever has captured you. Has the Lord ever captured your heart? Captured your heart. Where you've just given it all. Here I am, Lord. Because if I don't do anything else, I've got to know that you're pleased with me. Have you really done that? Or are we just hanging on to things because we don't want to let go? Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 6. This is surrender. This is from the New Living Translation. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Amen. I love the way that puts that. I am free today to be everything that God wants me to be and to do everything that He has called me to do. And I believe, as many others do, that if we will give ourselves over to the Lord like this, we are absolutely, absolutely eternal until we have done everything. We've done everything God has asked us to do. God's going to say, come on home. But until that time, we are servants that serve at the pleasure of the King of the world to give ourselves over to His Lordship each day of our lives. You can't surrender part of your heart. You can't surrender part of your life. You have to give it all to Him. He's got to have it all. Nothing else will do. It means that we give up certain things. It says here we give up, we lose. He says here, he gains the whole world, he loses his own soul. But if he loses his life, he finds it. It's totally reversed, isn't it? We say if we get something, then we gain. He says if you give something away, you gain. If you lose something, you benefit. That's not the way we look at it. That's why we have to turn it upside down in order to see it from God's perspective. It's that we surrender our lives so that we can find it. We surrender everything else so that we can get more from Him to do whatever He wants us to do. Some of you today, if you want more money, I'll give you a little clue. Give some away. Don't just hoard it. Don't keep it in the bank account. Don't just plan for retirement. Yes, do those things. But give some away and see what God does in return. God always gives more back than we could ever give to Him or to anyone else. I challenge you today to give over and beyond and watch how God works, because God just, you give and God gives back, pressed down, shaken together, running over, the Scripture says. Give it to Him and watch what He'll do. Your soul is completely different when you surrender it to the Lord. There's nothing more important than a soul. He says here there's nothing more valuable, because there's nothing else that lives eternally but the soul. That's why it's important that you know Christ. That's why it's important you help other people know Christ. We have the necessity of our surrender. But then in verses 27 and 28, we have the surety of His glory. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. Now, I don't think this is talking about the rapture, because the angels don't come back when Jesus comes to rapture the church. I think He's talking about when He comes back to set up His millennial reign. He's saying that the Lord is going to be glorified, and His reward He brings with Him. It's His recompense. It's what He gives us for doing His will. And it's what He gives others for not doing His will. But there's a reward for everyone. We get eternal bliss. Those who reject Christ get eternal judgment. But He's going to return, and people are going to see Him, and all are going to glorify Him. But if you go to the next verse, He says this in verse 28, "Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." And the word kingdom there in the Greek means royal splendor, in all of His splendor. You know what I think they're talking about? I think there Jesus is talking about the transfiguration. Because in the next passage, we have Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where they see the glory of God all over Jesus. And I think He's saying that you guys, some of you guys are going to see me in my full glory. You're going to see me for who I really am. You see, when we surrender our lives to the Lord, people see the glory of God in us and through us as we minister and as we care and as we sacrifice and as we give of ourselves. They see a little, small, short picture of the glory of God, because the glory has changed us. Some of us never live in that glory because we never surrender. But trust me, one day The Bible says every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Christ is Lord. He will be glorified. And I'm going to tell you, I want to be standing beside him when he's glorified. I want to be with him when he's triumphant. He doesn't need me. I'm going to come back just to watch him. He doesn't need me to do anything. When he comes back, he'll take care of all of it himself. But I want to be with him. But you know, I don't want to just wait till then to see his glory. These disciples, Peter, James, and John, didn't have to wait. And just a little short time after Jesus speaks to them, they go up on the mountain and they see his glory. When was the last time you saw the glory of Jesus? When was the last time you experienced that divine presence that just lit up a room, that just changed the circumstance, that made a difference in the way you thought about life? When was the last time? Or have you ever done that? We can experience the glory. And I will say something to these deacons who serve. Make no mistake about it. You will see his glory as you serve. If you do it properly, if you open your heart up in your life and you give it all to the Lord and you serve in the power of the Spirit, trust me, you will see the glory of God. You'll see it on the faces of people that you minister to. You'll see it in the expressions of those people who've never heard about Jesus until you came along, and they see a pure picture of what it means to know Christ. Oh, you'll see it in the lives of other people. And you'll experience it deep in your soul. And if you do, you will never, never be the same. You cannot experience his glory, his pure, unabated divinity. You cannot experience that and not be changed. You cannot. He wants us to live that way. He wants us to experience life this way. And so, deacons, you take heart. What you are doing is kingdom work. What you are doing is changing lives. One person at a time. By the way that you present Jesus to them. And trust me, you will be rewarded. Not just in heaven, you will receive it down here. I'll close this sermon with this. How do you see Jesus? Do you look at him the way the Southern Baptists say you should look at him? And don't get me wrong, I'm Southern Baptist, and I believe our doctrines are true to the Scripture, but listen, it's so much more than just a volume of beliefs and doctrines. We're talking about a relationship that changes us, that in turn should change other people, lived properly. How do you see Jesus? When you look at him, do you see deity? Do you say, that's God's Son? He's pure and holy. He's perfect in every way. He's the Savior of the world. Do you understand the authority that he's given you to go into this world and make a difference? All authority, Matthew 28, has been given to me in heaven, Jesus said, and on earth. Go and make disciples. That's what he said to us. Not just his disciples, all believers. Make a difference in this world. You can. I give you the authority to do that. Are you doing that? Someone asked a question one time, and I think it's valid. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would they have to let you go free? Make no mistake. We will give an account. But more than giving an account is the fact that we get to serve the Lord of the universe and we get to experience his very presence every day at whatever level we want to. When you look at Jesus, do you see the sovereignty of the cross? When you look at Jesus, do you see the necessity that you surrender? Do you see the surety of his glory? Because if you don't, you're not looking at him properly. Because in every instance, good or bad, hopeful or discouraging, in every instance, that's how Jesus presents himself. And that's how you and I should see him. If we do, our ministry truly does make a difference. I pray
that you'll surrender yourselves to the Lord today, completely, totally, and forever. With that, we are going to move into our ordination time. And I'm going to ask both Dickie and Miss Pat if you would please come and sit here. If you are an ordained deacon or minister today, I'd like to invite you to come forward to lay hands on Dickie and Pat and to pray for them. I'm going to ask if you would please to come behind them as you pray for them. But you can come forward and just line up, start here at your right, my left, and move across. Penny, could we have a little bit of background music, something just to kind of cut the silence as we pray? You may begin, gentlemen.
Amen. Be my glory ever. And I believe that's what is going to happen as Dickie comes to serve as a deacon. The certificate of ordination reads, Richard E. Cobb. I didn't know what the E was. I didn't ask. So I told Sandy to put Dickie, and she wouldn't do it. So anyway, having been chosen, one of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and capable of using the office well, was set apart publicly to the office and work of deacon by First Baptist Church at Collinsville, Virginia, on the 24th day of August in the year 2014. So we present this to you, and God bless you. And I'd like to have a brief prayer of dedication, if you don't mind, for Pat and Dickie. Father, I thank you for the surrender of your children to do your will. And I now dedicate Dickie as a deacon to serve you in the church here at First Baptist and in this community. And Father, I ask that you bless him and Pat as they go out amongst this community. May those folks see the love of Christ in their hearts and lives each day. Use them, Father, to make a difference in this community and in others. And I pray, Father, that you will bless them with your Holy Spirit to encourage them, strengthen them, and help them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to ask if those deacons that are going to be serving this year will come back up, stand with Dickie facing the congregation. Deacons, I give you this charge. Do you promise to strive to so live that you may honor Christ by your life? Do you promise in the presence of this congregation and before God to accept the responsibility of the office of deacon in this church and to the best of your knowledge and ability to discharge all duties of this office as empowered by the Holy Spirit? If so, please respond, I promise. I'm going to ask those who are members of our church if you will please stand. Do you, members of this congregation, acknowledge these men as deacons in the church? Do you promise in the presence of one another and God to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ and the specific mission of the church as empowered by the Holy Spirit? If so, please respond, we promise. Amen. Thank you. If you would please all stand together as we sing our hymn of commitment. As we finish this song, I'm going to ask all of our deacons who have rotated off, if you and your wives would go out back along with Brother Dickie and Miss Pat, and also I would like for you to go too. Miss Crotty, if y'all would just go through the double doors, and I would like for y'all to just give them your thanksgiving and your gratefulness for serving. So let's all sing together this closing hymn 318, The Nail-Scarred Hands.
Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Don't forget committee night tonight at 5:45. And don't forget church council
tomorrow night, 6:45. Tonight's at 5? Starts at 5? Tonight starts at 5. Tomorrow night, 6:45, church council. Bless you.